Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
It is hour number three here on Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny, who is on assignment. Denise Dirks is here in her usual, well, no, not usual place of prominence. She is seated from my vantage point, well, from her vantage point, let's say, about 3 feet to her left, because the usual position of prominence apparently was where the air conditioning would blow and made her cough all the time. Isn't that right?
No, it was really, I didn't know why I was having a cough. And I'd get this tickle in. And it was, Cal called it. He said, it's happening every time the air turns on. And by gosh, that's exactly what was happening. And it just would make, I am sensitive to air conditioning, quite honestly, and it was like setting me off.
Yeah. In a state where it's 110 degrees sometimes, and in fact, supposed to be 109 today where I live, it's not a good place to be sensitive to air conditioning.
Well, you know, I'm just happy that we identified it, because up until this revelation to Denise last week, I was being told it was because Denise was allergic to my opinion on things. It would cause her to go into some sort of, she had to take Benadryl before we'd ever do a segment just to fight off the, you know, antihistamines and to fight off anything that might cause her to cough. I can't take anything Todd said. It's choking me up.
Her real allergy was to losing points on case or no case, if you want to know the truth.
Okay, all right.
Well, I have another allergy, I have to confess.
Oh, no.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, I'm scared.
I always am afraid of my quick take.
Ah.
I always am.
Fair enough.
At the end of our third hour, which we are here, and at the end of this hour, we have a quick take, so be listening for that.
Do you have any ideas yet?
No.
But it'll be quick.
That's why we call them quick takes. They come up with them many times at the last minute or two, except Fred. As soon as he gets one from the first hour, he just writes it down.
I know. It's because Fred's organized and on top of things. I don't know. I say this every time Fred is not here. I don't think I have been around or seen somebody that fills more stuff into the average day with things that he has to get done. I mean, my phone was going off at about 5 o'clock this morning. Fred's obviously not here, but comments about Radio Law Talk and the show. And it wasn't like he woke up, decided to say something, and go back to bed. No, he is going.
Yeah, he's at full speed at that point. Yeah.
You hear the phrase burning the candle at both ends and in the middle? And if you ever look in a book of colloquialisms, Fred's picture is going to be right there next to that.
A lovely sketch, which he probably drew himself.
Probably. Probably. On his jet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he was complaining recently on TikTok or one of those about flying the jet into a rural area and awakening farmers. And I'm thinking, Fred, they're up long before you.
Yeah, right. I just remember the time we both showed up to do Radio Law Talk, and both of us were upset about transportation issues. In the case of me, I was upset because a water hose blew on my vehicle on the way to Radio Law Talk. And by the time I got here, I limped in. I had no fluid in the car. It was overheating. I didn't know that's what it was. I thought I'd blown the engine. Fred was similarly upset because somebody with a leaf blower was blowing leaves too close to his jet in the hangar. And dang it, when you're flying at 40,000 feet, you don't want to have a dirty jet.
Well, it's a fair point, although he's not thinking that if the leaf blower blows leaves on at 40,000 feet, the air's going to blow it off, Fred. It's
well,
okay.
Pretty certain that leaf blower don't blow leaves as fast as that jet flies, but, you know. I had to identify with him, though. It's like, I feel you. I feel you. I might not have a vehicle for the rest of my life, but I get it. Fred, we miss you. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, you're still driving that same vehicle.
Oh, I am. I am. I was able to fix it because you talk about things that you're allergic to, me, air conditioning, quick takes. I am allergic to car payments. I hate them. I will, and I hope I'm, you know, I hope I'm not being prophetic here. I will drive that car until the wheels come off.
By the way, the left front is looking a little squidgy.
That is true. That is true. It's kind of like the guy who says, you know, I've got enough money to last me the rest of my life. As long as I die next Thursday.
Exactly.
So we covered a lot of cases. Look, for this last hour, we're going to get into the Alec Baldwin case. Well, it's not a case yet, but the investigation that has been ongoing, an investigation that may be coming to an end. One determination we know has been made by the coroner's office about what happened on the set of the Rust film in New Mexico. We're also going to talk about a lawyer. Well, let's just put it this way. What did you expect was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? This is about a lawyer who filed a lawsuit that ended up affecting adversely his employment. And then, you know, Mariah Carey. Oh, my gosh. Mariah Carey Atune. She is a good singer. I'll give her that much.
Oh, yeah.
Mariah Carey.
Like seven octaves, right?
A bit of a drama queen, but that's okay.
You know, if you can hit seven octaves, maybe you're entitled to that. But she has a title, a moniker, if you will, that she is seeking to have trademark protection, file for trademark protection. And somebody else is saying, hold on a minute here. So we'll talk about that, what's going on there, a couple of other things. But we still got to get our third case or no case.
You ready? Here we go. All right.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Chester Hofenke lives in Salina, Kansas with his girlfriend, Jill Matthews. Jill and her husband broke up, and Chester moved right in with Jill and the teenage kids. It's almost like there was a plan there. But anyway, be that as it may. The kids did not take kindly to Chet. He was dismissive of them, mean to them, and saw them as an inconvenience rather than people who lived in their family rental home.
This wasn't Chet Daybell, was it?
No.
Okay, go on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. One of the kids, Clementine Matthews, said, "This man's got to get out of this house no matter what Mom thinks about him. He's got to go." So behind her mother's back, she sought the advice of counsel to see if she could squeeze Chet out of the house. She asked if there was a Chet-based case or no case. Denise Dirks, it's on you.
Okay. All right. I'm writing, write these down.
I'm not like Todd
that just has it in his head. I have to write it down because as I'm writing it down, you know, I get different images in my brain.
Yeah, including me sitting on the John reading a car book. I got
that
it.
That one
okay.
I try to fight. That becomes a nightmare.
Good.
Murderous crows. okay, so can the child, how old was Clementine?
She was 14.
14. Can the 14-year-old child make Chet move out of the house? And it's not a stepfather, right? They didn't get married?
No, it was just a guy who moved in with Mom as soon as Mom and Daddy broke up. Like right away, you know, very right recently afterward.
Well, you know, in the family law setting, she could do that if she got a domestic violence or restraining order against him for something he had done. Or that's about it. I mean, she doesn't own the house. She's only a tenant as well. So she can't try to do unlawful detainer. I can't think of a scenario where she could properly sue him to remove him from the house unless she just made false allegations against him and he was removed by the police. I'm going to say no case.
I'll ask a quick question, Cal.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
The mom, did she own the house or was she renting?
Rental.
Rental. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I just gave him a tip off.
Hey, oh, brother.
You want to call in? Call in at 855 Law Radio and tell us what you think.
Here's how I look at this. Somebody's getting a point, and it ain't me. The Law Talk will continue in just a little bit. We will have the answer to case or no case very shortly, right here on this radio station. No bullet.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
You found Radio Law Talk.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 Plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
Are you struggling with a high cost of prescription medications? How would you like to save up to 90% on your medications and have the
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake. Oh, that stone.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny. Frederick
Penny. So Cal is trying to get Denise and I for this case or no case, and the scenario is, well, let's just say, was she married, jettisoned the husband?
She jettisoned a husband, and the boyfriend moved in.
Jettison's a husband, boyfriend moves in. He's a not getting along with the kids, and one of the daughters, the question is, did the daughter go to a lawyer to see what their options were to get the boyfriend punted. And when we went to, and Denise says this is no case.
I think that's correct. Is that right, Denise? Don't want to mischaracterize what you said.
So you said.
Wait, let me make sure. Are you,
I need to have some power here. My power is this. No case.
No case. So Denise said no case. And when we went to the break, I asked Cal whether or not this was a lease or did the mom own the house. And you said this was a lease.
Correct.
All right. Now, the reason I asked that is because typically when you sign a lease, all of the adult occupants of the house, well, all the occupants usually have to be listed, especially the adult occupants, sometimes even one of the credit score of the adult occupants. And so I could see the mom being in technical violation of the rental agreement by having this new person in there whose name was not on the lease without prior approval from the landlord or whatever. And so here's what I'm going to say. That the daughter goes to a lawyer, the lawyer points this out. This is going to be a very specific answer, Cal. The lawyer gets word to the landlord that the new person is living there that starts some sort of breach of contract action between the landlord and mom. The daughter's not involved in it. So it's not a case with the daughter involved as a party, but it does start something between the landlord and the mom. And as a result of that, there is something filed that results in a settlement of sorts.
Do you happen to share my Google Docs with me? I want to go on record right now as saying you did not look at my answer to my case, did you?
No, I did not look at all.
In fact, I did not share this information with anyone except occasionally my wife when she goes, so what are we going to hear tomorrow? Like that.
Okay.
It's kind of like an insider thing. So here's the story. Case. And no one won that I know of, because here's the result. The attorney advised Clementine that if she really wants Chet out, she was powerless unless she reported the fact that he was living there to the landlord. And he was not specified as a tenant on the paperwork. The landlord offered the former Mrs. Matthews a notice to get him out of the house or get the whole family out within 30 days. Chet went back to being homeless. And the Matthews bunch stayed on in the home. And that, my friends, is case or no case. Well, I guess you could say she won.
So
the young woman won, even though she did not directly file the case. She went to the lawyer who said, go to the landlord, tell the landlord. Landlord went after him. You know, they had to go through the standard stuff, which involved filing a court
papers. But it wasn't settled.
Well, I would say that it was settled in the sense that they didn't have to go to court to have the person ordered to move out. It was she files the action, get out, and then once he agreed to get out, they didn't need a judicial
determination. I think I'd give Todd 1 point on this, Denise.
Thank
you. Yeah, I think that's
you know what that means, right?
It means I'm still no longer in the lead. That's what
no,
it means.
No, it means that you're tied.
I'm tied with Todd? It's a Todd tie.
I don't get a point for the eerily similar logic that I had to your Google Docs that I didn't see.
No, although you're right. I mean, that's how it turned out, which is, it was interesting that a lawyer said, you know, although you have been told you are powerless in this case, you are not. There's more to this story than meets the eye. And if you really want to get him out of there, you can act on it. And I admire that. I think that was a very smart thing.
I'm just curious what the relationship was between the daughter and the mom going forward. That's going to...
Well, mom
she went
has
to live with her dad.
Yeah, right. But mom has to put up with her until she's 18. If she's got custody, you know, that's her job by law. So it'll be interesting to see how it all works out. But here's what I know. That is case or no case. And now back to the show. Here are Todd and Denise.
So add that to the list. You can't be in contempt of court. You can't be in contempt of clerk. You can't be in contempt of spouse, contempt of bailiff. And now you can't be in contempt of child if you're a parent and bring somebody home that's a slug. All right. Adding it to the list. Denise, let's talk about Mariah Carey.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. We'll talk about Mariah Carey. But. What's going on with her, and what does it have to do with the holidays?
Well, you know, she has All I Want for Christmas Is You.
You had to sing it, didn't you? Sing it. It's going to be in my head the rest of the day, and we're not out of August yet. Thank you.
Which is an amazing song. It's an amazing song, and what's really important is that even though it came out years ago. It actually hits number one right around Christmas. You know, in the last 4 years, I believe it just got climbed right up to number one.
It came out with the movie Love Actually, right? That was the song in Love Actually that...
was the reprise. I think it had been out before that, hadn't it?
Well, I mean, Love Actually is kind of an old song, old movie. But anyway, go on, go on.
Yeah. So... She, you know, she's been known as, you know, a very important Christmas songwriter, and she, you know, is a lot of times associated with Christmas, and so she filed to trademark the term Queen of Christmas.
Probably thinking, who would possibly have an objection to that?
Exactly.
But, wait, did somebody?
You do. New people. There was Darlene Love and Elizabeth Chan have both recently spoke out about it, and they have filed objections to her trademark claim. And Queen of Christmas was a 2018 New Yorker piece. So there's this term has been used in not just movies or plays, but there was one person who sang an album and named it Queen of Christmas.
So this New Yorker piece was a magazine article that said Queen of Christmas. Is that right? Is what I'm hearing you correctly?
No, it was a song composer.
Oh, okay.
That did that. Yeah.
Well,
so anyway, I just thought, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think that's pretty presumptuous for her to call herself the Queen of Christmas.
Well, she is Mariah Carey. You know.
Well, that is true. That is true. We're at our bottom of the hour break, and guess what? I've already got my quick take based upon this story for the end of the show. Don't go away. We'll be back after this.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're BizToCredit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple. Repayment plans are flexible and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610.
USA Radio News.
The U.S. for the first time has announced it will give Ukraine Scan Eagle surveillance drones, mine-resistant vehicles, anti-armor rounds, and weapons to help Ukrainian forces regain territories and mount a counteroffensive against Russian invaders. A senior defense official told reporters that the U.S. is looking to help shape and arm the Ukrainian forces of the future as the war drags on in its 6 months. This brings the total U.S. military aid to Ukraine to about $10.6 billion since the beginning of the Biden administration. It is the 19th time the Pentagon has provided equipment from Defense Department stocks to Ukraine since August 2021. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you serious?
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Petty.
So here we are, stretch run here, the final half hour of Radio Law Talk for this, August 20th episode. Todd Kunin filling in for Fred, Denise Dirks on the other side of the table, and Cal Hunter behind the glass. Earlier we talked about the Alec Baldwin case. Alec Baldwin, for those of you who have been living under a rock or just woke up from a Rip Van Winkle-like sleep of an extended period of time, Alec Baldwin was doing a movie in New Mexico called Rust. It was supposed to be an old Western. And while setting up for a shot or some sort of rehearsal, it was supposed to take place in a church, Baldwin was holding a revolver, and the revolver discharged, killing the photographer, the cinematographer, and injuring the director, the way the shot was being set up. And since then, the case has been investigated to find out what went wrong. Why was he holding a gun that was loaded with live rounds? Did he pull the trigger? Did it just accidentally go off? What is going on here? Several statements have been made. Baldwin went on and was interviewed by George Stephanopoulos and gave his version of the events. The police, law enforcement have issued warrants for his cell phone, Alec Baldwin's cell phone, and they've done an investigation. And one report was completed this week, and that is the coroner's report. That is regarding the cause of death. And Denise, what did the coroner determine as a in their report?
That she died from being shot.
And was there a determination as to whether or not this was an intentional act or an accident?
Well, I think that the FBI ruled the whole shooting as an accident.
And that's what the coroner's report. I mean, obviously they ruled that she had been shot. But the question here is, and the coroner has to make a determination to whether or not this is an intentional act or an accidental act, and this is relevant to whether or not charges are filed. And the coroner's office, incorporating some of the FBI's report. Now, the FBI has not completed their report to the extent they haven't turned their report over to prosecutors yet. They're still waiting for the final analysis of cell phone records. But the coroner's office in New Mexico reviewed this and determined that it was an accident based upon their investigation and also based upon some information that came from the FBI's report. But, you know, this comes out. And there was something in the FBI report that's creating a bit of a stir among those that have been following this, and it has to do with a claim that Alec Baldwin made about what he may or may not have done while he was holding the firearm. What was the claim that Alec Baldwin made?
He said that he cocked the gun, which means like he pulled
the hammer back.
The hammer back. And the FBI found that there was a trigger sear and cylinder stop that may have failed on the gun, is what it looks like. And that they didn't say they recreated it exactly, but the implications are that they recreated it, and it's possible that Alec Baldwin did not pull the trigger, that the gun failed.
That could be, and there are a lot of people saying no, that there's no way that gun would fire without him pulling the trigger on the gun, and that has been what Alec Baldwin has said all the time, that he cocked the gun, pulled the hammer back, but he never pulled the trigger. Okay, and there are some people that believe, and one article that we read that was written by Maureen Callahan. It was in several different publications. And, the article is entitled Walls Close In on Alec Baldwin as His Gun Lie Falls Apart. So they're interpreting it as being that the FBI has determined that it could not have fired without a pull of the trigger. But, you know, there are a lot of things still outstanding with regard to whether or not Alec Baldwin will face criminal charges depending on whether he pulled the trigger. If it is shown that Alec Baldwin did in fact pull the trigger, okay, does that mean that he is automatically to be charged with a crime? No, it does not. First, I think the highly unlikely charge, if anything is charged, is it is almost impossible that Alec Baldwin would be charged with murder under either a malice aforethought or an implied malice theory. Yeah, malice aforethought is, you know, I wanted to kill you, I premeditated it, I killed you. Implied malice is, I did an act that was so reckless that I should have known that somebody would die as a result of that. For example, if somebody knowingly fires several rounds from a gun into a crowd. Well, I might not have had any malice or anything towards any one individual, but I was certainly reckless with my conduct, and I can be charged with the state of California second-degree murder under a theory of that, of implied malice. I don't think either one of those happens with Alec Baldwin. I mean, the question here would be whether or not it is manslaughter, gross negligence, manslaughter, ordinary negligence, but I don't necessarily think that Alec Baldwin's statement that he did not pull the trigger means that he is culpable or not culpable, regardless of what they find, because as luck would have it, there's this thing called, you ever heard of a thing called hang fire?
No.
A hang fire. Hang fire is where you pull the trigger and the bullet, the round does not discharge. Now, most of the time in a hang fire situation is you pull the trigger. It's not a misfire, but in a hang fire situation is you pull the trigger and there's a delay between the hammer hitting the back of the bullet and when the bullet discharges for whatever reason. It's like a delayed fuse, something like that happens with faulty ammo. But it's usually in less than a second, split second. But in some cases, it can be longer. In fact, in looking at gun safety regulations about what to do in the case of a hang fire situation where you pull the trigger and the gun does not discharge, The first thing they say is do not re-aim the muzzle anywhere, right? Because sometimes that it's instantaneous, almost instantaneous when the round will go off. Sometimes it can be several seconds. So the gun safety regulations, the gun safety rules that they promulgate say you should wait for anywhere from 30 to 60 seconds before you A, reposition the barrel of the gun, or B, even try to open the gun to look in, because if you introduce oxygen, and if that's the reason for the hang fire was for some reason there was no oxygen there, well, that could be what causes the gun to go off, right? So that is a possibility. That would be a situation where if Alec Baldwin, prior to positioning the gun for purpose of the rehearsal, thought he had a gun, you know, pulled the trigger because he thought it was nothing but live rounds, did it before moving the gun into position, did that, you know, 30 to 60 seconds before, Baldwin's statement was he pulled the hammer back and the gun discharged when he pulled the hammer back. That's a situation that they would have to conclusively rule out before they could say that it was an intentional act and that Baldwin was not telling the truth, because in a situation like that, he could very well be telling the truth that I never pulled the trigger once it was pointed at in the direction it was pointed. It's not probable, but it is within the realm of possibility.
But then a single action, if the single action failed somehow, I mean, mechanical failures do occur, right?
It does happen. It does happen. And as luck would have it, I was checking my Instagram feed. This was about an hour and a half ago. And for whatever reason, this video popped up. It was the first one on my video feed. Because the next question is whether or not a gun will go off after the hammer is pulled back accidentally. And there was a safety video where a guy is showing others at a gun range how to shoot this revolver. He cocks the gun, and he's talking to the others, and I don't see his finger go anywhere near the trigger, and the gun went off. And this is important because experts right now quoted in these articles are all saying there's no way a gun would ever go off without pulling the trigger.
A properly functioning gun is the key point to that, that he probably did not add.
Exactly. Well, you know what? Again, gun safety regulations. There's a reason they always say to keep the chamber empty when you're storing a gun or doing anything. Why? To prevent the gun from accidentally going off. So don't tell me it never happens. That's what's going on in the set of Rust. And we'll follow that some more to see what the shakeout is. Hopefully the FBI will issue their report shortly.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Denise. They'll both be right back with the final segment of Radio Law Talk for today. You stay right there, and Radio Law Talk will continue momentarily.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. Here's Fred Penny with Penny.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of
markets and find your best entries and exits.
Text the word MONEY to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
The final segment here on Radio Law Talk for this episode. Denise, let me ask you a question. Do you think way back in the late 1700s when the Constitution, and then after that, not the original Constitution and then the Bill of Rights, was drafted by the Founding Fathers, do you think they ever thought or contemplated the interaction between the elected representatives and their constituents would be able to happen as quickly and as broadly as it is able to happen, as is able to happen now with the use of social media like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, things like that?
No, of course not. They didn't, you know, anticipate even the internet. They didn't anticipate our ability to conduct wars. They didn't anticipate a lot of things.
But, you know, but even though they didn't anticipate it, there are certain principles that still apply when it comes to elected officials and their constituents being able to talk to them and communicate with them. What happened in Arkansas?
We have a senator in Arkansas who didn't like this group and what they were doing. He claimed they were bullying him on social media, and they were the national atheists. So they didn't believe in God. They're atheists. And so he blocked them on his social media accounts. And I think we covered this at a different time with maybe a former president doing the same thing. And
uh-huh.
He went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, right?
Yep.
And that was something that I would say most people that have any interest in a law, maybe a senator should, would have, you know, remembered. You can't block people from your social media account, especially if it is your official account as a government official, right?
Yeah, you're holding yourself out as a representative of the people in a representative government. And look, I get it. I'm not trying to justify what people may or may not have been saying. The atheists, I don't know what they were saying. The nonprofit organization, PROPHET. I don't know what they were saying. You get that? See what I did there?
Nice one.
I don't know what they were saying, but the fact is, if you're an elected representative, they have the right to say it to you, right?
Exactly.
You've got to.
They have freedom of speech.
Exactly.
And exactly, the Constitution protects your average citizen from freedom of speech and any impairment of that by a government entity or official.
Right, with the presumption that the government will always have free speech because it's the government and bigger than the individual rights that the Constitution is trying to protect, don't you think?
Yeah, it's based on the government having a lot more, you know, power and say, and maybe the ability to get their word out, the government's word out, rather than, you know, the average Joe.
Yeah, and you mentioned that this came up earlier with regard to the former president, President Trump, because a similar issue arose. I would have thought that the way that resolved, where he was told you can't, you're the president, you can't block people on social media, that would have trickled down to other representatives realizing, maybe the nature of my position and what I signed on to do as a representative prevents me from doing something that I probably could have done if I had just remained a private person and not represented others.
But Truth. They're bullying me. They're bullying me, Todd.
It
hurts my feelings.
Exactly.
You know what? Well. Toughen up. You're a senator.
Right.
You represent a lot of diverse people, and some are not so nice. Right?
And it's not like it's a shocker that our laws, right? It's not like a shocker that our laws might protect one person given their status in one area and not protect another. Take, for example, defamation. You could say something about me as a private individual that may or may not be defamatory. It might be defamatory. I've got a legal cause of action. But if I were a public figure, you could say that and I would have to prove malice in your saying that, whereas I don't have to prove it otherwise.
I'll give you an example. I have a little radio show in a very small town in Northern California. I got death threat telephone calls one night. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to kill you. This kind of that almost verbatim quote. I called the police department to report it, and he said, "Well, Cal, I listened to your show too. You're a public figure. What do you want me to do?"
Now, on that,
I said, wait a minute.
Those are fighting words. There's an exception to the First Amendment right that involves what we would call fighting words.
Well, I'll tell you, it bothered me.
Well, and if it's a death threat, an unconditional death threat, and you think that somebody has the ability to carry it out, that's, in California, a violation of Penal Code Section 422, and it's a strike, and they should absolutely investigate it. But, yeah.
I'll call you next time.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
just don't call that police officer again.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, he just was having none of it. I said, well, wait a minute. He can't just threaten me with my life. He said, well, you're a public figure. He has freedom of speech.
How was the death threat communicated to you? Was it
telephone?
By telephone?
Yeah.
Was there any resemblance between the voice of the police officer and the person leaving the
yes.
threat?
Yes. I'm no, pretty
are
sure
you
it
thinking
was,
it might have been the same person?
Sure it was
I
the
can
same.
Say whatever I want there, Cal. But so that happened, and ultimately the case that was brought, the atheist group brought a case against the senator, and he has agreed to. He entered into a settlement agreement that requires him to unblock them. Now, I do have a question. If the comments were truly bullying, or if the comments were such that would have violated, let's say it was Twitter. I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, but let's say it was Twitter. If the comments were such that violated Twitter's use policy, I don't think that there's anything that would have prevented the senator from reporting as a violation of Twitter. And if Twitter wants to take action, they can. But he can't block it.
Right.
So, yeah.
I totally agree.
And that's out of the state of Arkansas. You know, folks, let's put this one, next one in the category of what the heck were you thinking? What did you think would happen?
Oh, you sound like my wife now.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
What did you think would happen? You don't test fireworks near the gas can. Another one out of Pennsylvania. Good heavens. The folks in Pennsylvania don't think we're taking them on.
And we are in Pennsylvania, so they're listening.
Yeah. There was a mascot at a Pennsylvania high school that previously was depicted. The mascot was an American Indian. And with the way things are going, they decided to change the school district decided to change the mascot to something that didn't infringe on the image or rights or anything of Native Americans. And an attorney of his own volition, he worked for a big law firm, but of his own volition, on his own, decided to file a lawsuit challenging the school district's removal of the mascot.
So no people, no Native Americans came and said, hey, this is insulting. Nothing like that.
Nothing like that. I don't know, but I just know that this attorney decided to file a lawsuit. He worked for a law firm, but he didn't file on behalf of the law firm. He filed it on behalf of himself. And to challenge it, the school district found out where he worked, sent a letter to the law firm, said, this attorney who works for you said these things. We found the language in the lawsuit to be somewhat racist and what have you. And the attorney lost his job. He sued the school district for defamation because they lodged a complaint with the law firm. And
did they lie in what they said in the letter about him?
Well, it was their opinion that it was racist. That the language used was racist. And to cut this one quick, the appeal over the dismissal was denied. His case was dismissed. I got the feeling from reading the language from the appeal, and even the court was saying, dude, what did you think was going to happen? Of course you're going to lose your job if you're working for a big law firm and you file a lawsuit like this that could bring damage to the reputation of the law firm because you filed it. So
now he has a single attorney office hanging out a shingle filing collection letters and bankruptcy replies.
Yeah, and who knows how much business he's getting, right?
Right. But here's what I do know.
Yes.
It's time for Quick Takes. Denise, would you like to go first?
I would.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm surprised Gene Simmons didn't come up with the idea of trademarking Queen of Christmas. After all, he has a trademark on money bags.
You mean the drummer, the Kiss guy?
Yes, not the drummer, but the devil.
Yeah, the guy with the long tongue. Yes,
he owns money bags.
And he also owns Axe in reference to a guitar, calling it your axe, because he had a guitar that was being called the axe.
Like a battle axe.
And he owns Motion in reflection to motion pictures.
But does he own Todd Koenig?
I'm going to stick with the Mariah Carey theme. She wanted to trademark Queen of Christmas. Well, here's the thing. I'm pretty certain I know who the King of Christmas is based upon the birthday that we're celebrating, and I don't think she's married to him. How is she the Queen of Christmas? That'll do it for us here on Radio Law Talk.
Yes, it will. Todd, thank you, and Denise, thank you very much. We will continue next week right here on your favorite radio station and on RadioLawTalk.com with Radio Law Talk. Until then, thank you for listening, and have a terrific rest of your weekend.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.